You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Mixtape. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. Hey, I just want to welcome each and every one of you. Want to give a special shout out to all of our campuses, to Dover and Worcester and Millersburg and Canton and Coshocton and soon to be Cambridge. And I want you to know that I love each and every one of you and I'm thankful for you. Well, we're in this series called Mixtape, a soundtrack for a great marriage. And by now, we're learning that both the husband and the wife are not really getting what they want. They're not experiencing what they signed up for. It's not going the way in which they thought it would go or the way in which they planned it to go. And what we're seeing is that when we're in relationships, desires can move very, very quickly to expectations. And when we have those expectations, they create a certain level of pressure in those relationships. And what was meant to be enjoyable is now transactional. And so what we end up doing is we end up negotiating. And usually the one who's best with the words, the one who has the strongest personality, the one who is more forceful usually wins. And the other one says, uncle. Or they compromise. And compromise is not a great way to have an amazing marriage. Matter of fact, to even having an amazing relationship with anyone. And so what we see is that it's very easy for our desires to turn into expectations. And we're learning that expectations is this right here. It's the strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. And so it moves from a desire to expectation. We believe this is going to happen. We believe that this is going to be the case. And how those desires become expectations is through this right here, attempting to recreate or to avoid something in the past. Because when we try to recreate or avoid something in the past, what happens is it transforms our desires into expectations. So we're either trying to recreate something that we've experienced, or we're trying to avoid something that we have experienced. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, okay, explains what goes down. Okay, he writes this. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires? That battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You ruin people's reputations, their character. You talk about them. You destroy them. My husband's no good. My wife is fill in the blank. You kill them with words. He goes on to say, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. Why do we fight in our marriages? Because we have a desire and we're not getting it. It's an expectation. We're not getting it. Why do we fight and quarrel at work? Because we have these certain desires, and we want them, and we deserve them, and we expect them. And so we quarrel, and we fight. He says, you do not have, check this out, because you don't ask God. You see, listen, when you ask things from people, they'll never be able to give you enough. You'll be greedy. The only one who can ultimately satisfy your needs is God. I don't care your wife, I don't care your husband, you can ask for the world and it won't be enough because you'll continue to ask for more and more and more and more and no one will be able to completely satisfy you. That's why he says here, you need to ask God for it. He's the one who can do that. He goes on to say though, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on yourself, on your pleasures. See, that's why we have these desires. We have these desires because we end up having these expectations, and those desires and expectations are not for the other person. Those desires and expectations are all about us. And only one knows our heart. Only one knows our motive. And so God says, hey, if you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. But you better be asking for the right motive. Because if you don't ask for the right motive, I won't give it to you. And so it is in our marriages. So it is in our relationships with one another. And so we've come to this point, and we're learning this, that in a great marriage, the spouses understand that they owe each other everything, but are owed nothing in return. Wow. Why? Because we ask God. We go to God. Because our spouse is never going to be able to completely satisfy us. No person, listen, every person in your life at one time or another has disappointed you. You know why? Because we all fall short. And so James would say, go to God. Now, what happens when our needs go unmet? Because they do. What happens when our desires and our expectations go unmet? Well, we usually respond in three ways. One is we discard them. We just ignore them. We pretend that they don't exist. Are you happy? Yes, I'm happy. But inside, you're resentful, you're bitter, you're angry, you're mad, because you've come to the conclusion that I might as well ignore my desires because they're never going to be met, at least not through her. Or at least not through him. And so we discard them. Another way in which we do it is we become distracted. We become distracted by focusing on something or someone else. Let me help us fellas in the room on this, okay? And it's true with women as well, okay? I won't let you out. We become distracted, and so we throw ourselves into work. Or we become emotionally involved with somebody else or a fantasy, and we just become distracted. We look somewhere else. And that leads me to the third one. Or we look for someone else. We just say, okay, you know what? You're not able to meet my needs. You're not making me happy. You're not fulfilling my desires. I think I'll trade you in. I think that I'm going to look for someone else who's willing to meet my desires or my expectations. And here's what I would say to all of us today. Don't rush into relationships. We rush into relationships all too often because what happens is we want somebody to meet our desires. We want somebody to meet our expectations. And here's what I would say. Whether it's in a marriage, whether it's at work, or whatever, time's on your side. And here's why you need to wait. Because you're not changing a relationship because you're saying, I can't wait to meet somebody to fulfill their expectations and desires, right? You're not thinking that way. You're thinking, I can't wait to meet somebody new so they can fulfill my expectations and my desires. Especially if you've just come out of a relationship. Especially if you just got divorced. Time's on your side. Because the reason why you want to date so quick is not because you want to be the right person. The reason why you want to date and get into a relationship so quick is because you're trying to find the person who can meet your desires and expectations. And you will find yourself right back in the same situation. Y'all okay? You still love me? But that's the truth. And all of us here today, if we're not careful, we're responding to our unmet needs, our unmet desires, our unmet expectations by discarding them, just pretending that they don't exist, and we're not happy, we're bitter, we're angry, we're mad, we become distracted, we've thrown ourselves into something else, or we're looking for someone else. And what I want to talk to you about today is the secret sauce. I want to talk to you about the way in which you and I can address this. because it's important. Because you do have desires, and they can be God desires. There's nothing wrong with those. But how do we approach them? How do we handle them? Well, a man named Peter had a lot of desires. Matter of fact, he wanted to be the greatest. He wanted to be well known. He wanted to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Matter of fact, he would get in arguments with his family about who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the leader around here? Who's going to call the shots? Who's going to get their way? And you know what? He learned the secret sauce. He learned the secret sauce. And you say, what is it? Well, it's there in your notes, and I want us to walk through it. Here's what he says. Okay, this is Peter, the abrasive, obnoxious, rude, okay, opinionated, arrogant, driven person, okay, at one time in his life. And he learned that it wasn't helping him. It was hurting him. And here's what he says. He says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Wow. He's saying, I've learned the secret sauce, okay? I've tried the other way, and it didn't work. It just created more chaos, more conflict, more confusion. And he says, let me tell you how to do this. Clothe yourself. That means that I have a responsibility to do this. You have a responsibility. And he says, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. And so what is that? Well, let me help us with this, okay, of what a humble person is. And we need to begin with understanding truly what humility is. And C.S. Lewis says it like this. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It's putting someone else before you. It's me putting someone else before me. And so he says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility. And so what does that look like? Let me give us some things that I think that will help us understand what it means to clothe ourselves with humility. The first one is this. A humble person serves. Serves. It means that I'm willing to expend my energy on your behalf. I'm willing to make a difference in your life. Serving doesn't mean equal trade. It doesn't mean a transaction. You know what? I do this for you and you do this for me. That's not humility. That's a transaction. It'll never transform your life. Here's what Paul says. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Humility means that we're willing to serve one another. See, he goes on to say this. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ Jesus? I have come not to be served, but to serve. Is that how you entered marriage? I have come to serve her, not to be served. I have come to serve him, not to be served. Is that how you enter the workforce? I've come to serve this company. I've come to give my energy to this, not for them to serve me. And so when he says, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility, what he's talking about is learn how to serve one another. The second thing is forgiveness. What does it mean to clothe ourselves with humility? It means to forgive one another. Can I help us here, okay? If you're withholding forgiveness from somebody, you are arrogant. You are full of pride. You don't see yourself correctly. Because humble people forgive. They forgive quickly and they forgive completely. And they also ask for forgiveness. See, Paul says it like this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. When I look at how much God has forgiven me, I don't even have a right. So arrogant of you, Dwight, to withhold forgiveness. So arrogant of you to hold that over her or hold it over him or hold it over them. You see, when Peter said, all of you clothe yourself with humility. What he's saying is serve one another and forgive one another. And if you're struggling with forgiveness because you're proud, just remember how much God has forgiven you, because you will never have to forgive your spouse as much as God has to forgive you. Y'all okay? This is good stuff, by the way. It's the secret sauce. A humble person not only serves and forgives, but a humble person also is patient. Is patient. Look what he says here. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Wow. You see, humility and being patient goes hand in hand. Whenever we're impatient, we're arrogant. We're proud because we become very demanding. And humble people are patient because what happens is they're concerned about the person. It doesn't mean that they don't challenge. Doesn't mean that they don't lead. But they're patient. Solomon, who's considered the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus, said this, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What's he saying here? It's all fun when it all starts off, right? It's fun. It's fun to have that wedding day and to be able to orchestrate it and to be able to go on the honeymoon and all of that. But what he says here is it's better at the end. Why? Because you work through all the difficulties. You work through all the disappointments. You work through all the pain. You work through not getting your way. And because of it, at the end, you're a better person. Listen to me. So many of us, we run from problems. We run from disappointments. We run from not getting our way. And you know what? We're smaller people because of it. Because we're not patient. We don't allow God to do his work in us. So what happens is we run from one circumstance to another circumstance to another circumstance. We get to the end of our life and we wonder whether it mattered or not. All of you, Dwight included, clothe yourself with humility. Serve. Forgive. Become more patient. A humble person is also a peacemaker. Not a peacekeeper. Okay, difference. But a peacemaker. A peacemaker. And here's what I mean by that. And Paul refers to it here when he says, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty or proud, but readily adjust yourself. Flexibility. Proud people aren't flexible. Proud people are rigid to people and things, and give yourself to humble tasks. Okay? Give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself. Wow. You see, humility allows you and I to be able to see things clearly and to be able to see ourselves correctly and understand that, you know what? We're broken. We have issues, we have challenges, and we see that we're not perfect. I don't know everything. I can be and will be wrong. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. When's the last time you said that, by the way? When's the last time you told somebody, I'm sorry? When's the last time you said, you know what, I was wrong? If you haven't for a while, you're proud, you're arrogant. It should be a part of your language. It should be a part of my language. Because you know what? We're broken people. We don't. When's the last time you told your wife you were wrong? Instead of saying, I'm done. Let's not talk about this anymore. When's the last time you said something to your husband? You said, you know what? I'm sorry. Those were too sharp of words. And I'm sorry. When's the last time you hung around with somebody who was smarter and brighter and more talented than you without envying them? See, those are all things that peacemakers do. And humility is a potent weapon in the pursuit of peace. You see, When I clothe myself with humility, then I take the first step towards being a peacemaker. Hey, you know what? I didn't start it, and so I'm not going to him. I didn't start it, so I'm not going to her. See, humility is the first step towards becoming a peacemaker, because what happens is humility isn't concerned with who's right and who's wrong. Proud people are. Humble people ask the question, are we right in our relationship with one another? Let me give you this last one. A humble person asks for help. Oh, my lands. I tell you what, at New Point, every time I talk to a new employee, you know what I say? You better be willing to ask for help or you will die here. You'll remain in your cubicle. You'll remain in your office. You'll feel overwhelmed because you are prideful. And here's what Solomon says. Pride is the start of destruction. Because what happens, we're not humble, because God forbid that we'd let anybody know that we don't know the answer or that we need help or that we may not be able to do this or we don't understand that. When's the last time you asked for help? When's the last time you made yourself vulnerable? When's the last time you said that to your spouse? Hey, honey, I need help. I need help on this. See, that takes vulnerability. That takes a risk. See, Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You just can't do nothing. And so humility is all about saying, God, I need help in my marriage. God, I need help in this relationship. And you might say, Dwight, you're telling me that a humble person serves and they're patient and they forgive and they're peacemakers and they ask for help. That seems like a lot. Yeah, that's why you have to humble yourself. See, listen, you can pray for humility all day long and never get it. Pete didn't say pray for humility. He said clothe yourself with humility. You do these five things, guess what? You'll become humble. I promise you. Can it be lived out? See, the secret sauce for your marriage, the secret sauce for your relationships is to be humble. Clothe yourself with humility. You say, does it work? Yeah. Check out this video and see about those five things. You'll see them talking about these five things. Let's watch it just for a moment.
So when we got married, we weren't the typical, you get engaged, you get married. We were dating for about a year and found out we were pregnant. So we planned our wedding pretty quickly. I knew right away, though, that I wanted to marry you. Fast forward, we were pretty young. I was 22, he was 23. He spent a lot of his time working, and I was with the kids, and it was very busy. I felt like I was doing a lot of things on my own. We didn't really see each other. We didn't talk a lot.
We were just doing life. I mean, and more often than not, it's not the big things that trip you up. I think it's the little things that you just don't do day to day. And we just found out a little bit too late that we weren't really prioritizing our marriage the way we should. We were spending a lot of time with our kids and our jobs, and our marriage was suffering. We didn't even know it.
He would say what he thought I should think. I would tune him out because I'm not going to be swayed by what you think that I should think. I'm going to think my own thing. And we had to agree to disagree a lot, and it probably almost created a barrier for us.
And so, you know, just one day we were having a conversation, it's more like an argument, and I gave her the option, do you want out of this? And I was joking, but she was serious. She said, yeah. And I didn't know what to do with that. I mean, it totally rocked my world.
I was frustrated. I was alone. Like he said, I'm not saying that I was being the right wife that he needed, but if neither one of you are filling each other's bucket, then it's going to blow.
I made an ultimatum. I finally told her, I said, listen, we got to do something here. It's been going on for 6 or 8 months. I said, we can't live like this forever. We got to conclude this somehow. And I said, I couldn't start another year without knowing what direction we were headed in. That moment, she made the decision that it wasn't what she wanted, but she was going to stay. And so at that point, we started to work on it.
Even though it was something I did not want to do, it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. Obviously, we're both exhausted after 6 months of fighting and 6 months of arguing and, you know, trying to figure out what you're going to do. I said, you know what, I'm going to make the decision to look at the good. So I started focusing on the good in him, and this man, he literally fought every single day for 6 months. And he didn't have to. Like, he was on his knees. And he was doing my cleaning. He was scrubbing toilets. He was cleaning cat litter. All the things that I complained about doing for years, because he was trying to let me see who he could be. Everything changed. I loved him again. You know, we were happy again. He started being more active with our children. He started being the dad that he needed to be, the husband that he should be.
My daily time with God, I mean, that is so vitally important. And I didn't know it until after this. I mean, because I can't be who I need to be for her unless I'm talking to my Heavenly Father every single day. It changes what I focus on. It changes my mind. It changes my perception of who she is. It just changes your perception of the whole relationship. You got to do that. It's non-negotiable. You have to spend that time with God, because that is where your mind is renewed. That's where it changes your view of the world and the people in it, in your relationship. So
it is getting better every day. We're growing. We're seeing each other for who we really are, or who the other person really is. And it just, it's amazing what God can do if you allow him to. Because literally for me, all I did was change my mind. I decided that I didn't want to live like this, and I didn't want my kids to have this life. So I had to find a way to make it work. I had to find the good. Look for the good. If you look at the negative, that's all you'll ever see. So change your focus.
Wow. Did you hear what she said? It's not what I wanted to do, but it was the best thing that I ever did. She said, I had to decide. I had to decide. See, this is what Peter is saying to us. He says, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another. You and I have to decide that. And how do we clothe ourselves? You ask yourself in every situation when you have an encounter, what would a humble person do? Well, they'd serve. They'd be patient. They'd be a peacemaker. They'd forgive. They'd ask for help. He says, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Says that God opposes the proud. Maybe you're here today and you're not for sure that there is a God. He'll never show up as long as you're proud. See, what happens is, here's what God does to proud people. Ready for this? Look up here. Here's what God does to proud people. He stands back. Who wants to be engaged with an arrogant person? Not even God himself. He distanced himself. And so what happens here, he says, all of us should clothe ourselves. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's that mean? That means that he gives you and I what we need to be able to maintain and to do the right thing. It's an invitation for God to come in and to give you the strength, the power, the grace, the ability to do what is right. Peter goes on to say this, so humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In due time. That God ultimately has his way, but we have to work on his plan. And his plan is that he wants you and I to humble ourselves. You see, one of the things I tell our kids is this: nobody can ruin your life. Only you can, by being proud. Because if you humble yourself, God will lift you up at the right time, in his timing. And then Pete says this is unbelievable. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Wow. He says, you know what, if you humble yourself, yeah, there's going to be times you're going to be worried and concerned and afraid because maybe a desire isn't being met or an expectation isn't being fulfilled and you're wondering, what's going on? And Pete says, you know what you do? You cast all of your anxiety about all the things that you want and all the things that you feel that you need. And you cast it upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, no one did this better than David himself. King David, maybe you've heard of him. He was labeled a man after God's own heart. And casting all of your anxiety upon God means that you don't pray polite prayers. You pray X-rated prayers. You say everything on your heart. And we get a little glimpse of this in Psalms 55. And I just want to walk us through this, okay? Here's David, a man who's called after God's own heart. Here's what he's done with his desires and his expectations and his hurts and his disappointments. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising against me, I could hide. But it is a man like myself, my companion. It's not an enemy. It's my companion. It's the one I'm married to. It's the one I work with. My close friend with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God. I used to go to church with them. We got married. We used to laugh. We used to just get one pop and drink it together because we didn't have any other money. That's what he's saying. We had sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked among the worshipers. And then he says this. He says, let death take my enemies by surprise. Wow. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. You know what he's basically saying? To the hell with them. You know what? I am so hurt. I am so angry. I am so mad. God, destroy them. I'm tired of it. That's what he's saying. He's getting real with God. You ever done that? It's okay. He's given you and I permission. He can handle it. You see, it's much better to cast all of our care upon God because he cares for us than to cast it upon somebody who probably can't do anything about it. David goes on to say this, as for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. He's saying, you know what? This is so heavy on me that I'm praying in the morning. I'm praying at noon. I'm praying in the evening. I'm crying out to you, God. I'm calling on to you because, you know what? My life is full of anxiety because I have these needs. I have these wants. I have these desires. I even have these expectations. He goes on to say this, he rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many opposed me. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in due time. God, who is enthroned from old, who does not change, he will hear them, and he will humble them because they have no fear of God. You know what you're doing when you're crying out to God? What happens is you're saying, God, I give you my husband. God, I give you my wife. God, I give you my boss. God, I give you my friends. You deal with them because you know all hearts. He goes on to say, he says, my companion attacks his friends and he violates his covenant. He made these promises to me when we got married and he's not keeping them. She made these promises to me when we got married and they're not keeping them. His talk is smooth as butter, and yet war is in his heart. That means, you know what? Passive aggressive. Smile at your face, stab you in the back. His words are more smoothing than oil, and yet they have drawn their swords. My wife. My husband. My friends. How's things going? Good. Really? Y'all okay? Here's what he says. Cast your care on the Lord. This is where Peter gets this. Cast your care, and he will what? He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Wow. Never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. You want to pray a prayer like that? God invites you. He gives you and I the invitation to unload on him, not on people. Not on your wife. I'm tired. You've said you're going to do this, and you've never done it. I'm sick of you making these promises and falling short. How's that working for you? Want secret sauce? Clothe yourself in humility. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in due time. You see, Jesus says it to you and me in this way. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest where? To your soul. So all hell can be breaking out against you. He says, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Wow. Why is this? Why can you and I do this? Here's the reason why. If it is important to you, it is important to your Father in heaven. God knows every relationship you're in. He knows every struggle you have. He knows your marriage. He knows all of that. And if it's important to you, it's important to your Father in heaven, because you are important to your Father in heaven. There's not a bird that falls to the ground that God's not aware of. And Jesus said, if he cares about that bird, how much more does he care about you and me? He knows your pain. He knows your problems. He knows your desires. The secret sauce is to humble yourself before him. See, listen, you want to get your mind back? You say, Dwight, I'm going crazy. I'm going whacked out in this relationship. You want to get your mind back? I'll help you with that. Humble yourself. Prideful people lose their mind. I'm going crazy. I can't stand this. This is driving me nuts. Humble people are at rest. They're not shaken. So how does this apply to you and me? What can you and I do? I want to give you some homework, okay? Here's the question that, if you're married, here's the question I want you to ask your spouse. What can I do to help? How about asking that before you leave the house every morning? What can I do to help? And when you come back home at night, whether you meet him at the door or you both get there at the same time, you say, honey, what can I do to help you this evening? In every relationship, the dynamics will change. Because asking the question, what can I do to help, is clothing ourselves with humility. Do that for the next 2 weeks. Do that to the next 2 weeks, and you'll see what God will do. Let's pray. God, we thank you today that you clothed yourself with humility and you visited earth and you took on the form of a servant. And God, we all have desires and expectations, and we know that those things can destroy a relationship. They'll cause us, as James says, to fight and quarrel with one another. But you've told us to ask you, to humble ourselves before you. And so today, we want to do that. Help me, help us to ask, what would a humble person do in this situation? And then give us your grace to maintain the power and strength to do it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You
want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.